Good morning. Let us, Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 21, instructions for Christian households. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to him as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Amen.
We have the transition of the slides up. Now, I was studying these words before I would use them in a wedding. And a lot of people would think this is really a good marriage verse. In fact, the last couple I married, they wanted this verse. So I studied it. And as I studied the verse and these verses, I found a deeper meaning that was called to my heart. And that's what this sermon's going to be about today. The marriage verse, used in weddings, used in counseling. Everybody loves this verse. In fact, I love watching the men when these verses are read. They kind of nudge their wife when it says the submit part. But the piece that they need to listen to is that is really for them as well. So as we look and go forward, is it just for weddings and counseling? I'm going to show you that it's not. It's for us to understand and to study how it actually conforms to us, the church. How are we using these understandings of these verses? Well, we're going to go look all the way back to the beginning of the Ephesians and try to understand what was written before these verses, so we can understand the meaning of these verses, and so that we can understand the author. Then we're going to pray and have God lead us in his word. As I prayed through the studies, and I prayed many times, that God would lead me to be able to speak today. By understanding the author, we can then understand the meaning. A lot of people like to read a Bible verse and it's a short piece and they understand what it means. Or do they? Because the context around it does matter as well. We're in a society today that's so fast at saying, I know what that means. And that they know better than the author. Then we're going to look at a small demonstration of love. And we can really see that we can take time to love. But let's start in the beginning, Ephesians 1. Who was the writer in the beginning of Ephesians? Paul. He announces it right in the very beginning. We're going to go through these very quickly. So if you have your Bible out, get ready to turn pages quickly, because I'm taking this at a very broad view to get us prepared. And we're looking at chapter 1, 3 through 14. Christ is shown as also as our Redeemer, the one that actually has come to help us. And in verses 15 through 23, we're going to understand to pray. and that the purpose, that we'd know His purpose. How many of us know God's purpose for our church? I think we need to have that very clear, is the purpose, so we know what God is calling us. And in chapter 2, Paul tells us very cleanly, verses 1 through 10, that we are saved by grace. It's very clearly, we are saved by grace. And then we look at 11 through 18, and that the Father is for the Gentile and the Jew. We are both to be saved. God is unifying the believers in Him. He wants us to dwell in a worship place together. This building, when we come together, is church. When we go out together, two or more Christians, to do things, it is church. Whenever we come together under Christ, we're in the church. In Ephesians 3, 1 through 13, God gives wisdom to the church. Would any of you agree with that? When a body is working together, they have wisdom given to them, and then all of a sudden blessings come as well. And through that wisdom, they can do much more together. And to pray. Can we actually stop and look deeper? And look what the Father wants us to know about His freedom and a show of confidence. When you talk to somebody that has confidence, you know what they're telling you a lot of times is true. Or do we think sometimes it's just true because they had confidence? We should be confident because we know the Lord Jesus Christ has died for us and is in us. And through that, find fulfillment. Ephesians 4. The teaching on unity. Looking at the teaching, the body of believers is how we come together. And Paul is teaching in 7 through 16 and explaining that we start out as infants. How many of us accepted Jesus Christ and was able to quote Scripture? Only a few. Most of us come to Jesus Christ knowing very little. And as we study the Word of God, it grows within us. And as we walk our Christian walk, we have more Christians around us that help us grow. Our Sunday school was very interesting this morning. We didn't pray to edify each other up to make us look better. In fact, we prayed on how to talk hard things over. We talked about how Pastor John is not the best speller. But somebody telling him that he needs help with this will allow him to do a better job and not have PowerPoints misspelled, but to have them clearly spelled so there's no distractions. We are supposed to come alongside our brothers and sisters to help them become better. And we become more mature. And with the maturity comes wisdom from God. In 17 through 5:20, we are told about wisdom. In fact, we are told so much about wisdom that we are told not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with what? The Holy Spirit. And we can replace that just drunkenness with anything. If I overeat, and it's a problem and it's a distraction between me and the Lord, I should be looking at taking that away and putting the Lord in that place. If I watch too much TV, I should be looking at how am I spending my time. Because I believe a lot of that is looking at where we're at and what we can learn. Well, Paul's teaching us about relationships. The relationship with each other and the relationship with Him, Jesus Christ. I have a small movie here to play. Some of you may have seen the movie, and if you haven't, I recommend it as Blindside. Or Blindsided. Leanne Toohey shows love. Unconditional love. The family learns about this unconditional love and others around them. Paul is teaching us all about the relationship and how we should love.
Okay, big smile, Toohey family.
Let me get it, y'all.
Everyone, thank your mother for driving to the store in Genesis.
Thank you, Mama.
He's been enrolled in 7 different institutions, including a gap of 18 months around the age of 10, when he apparently didn't attend school at all.
I tell you, most kids with his background wouldn't come within 200 miles of this place.
Class, this is Mike Orr, and he's new here, so I expect you all to make him feel welcome.
Hi.
Smile up, and let them know you're their friend. I'm sure.
Who is that, Esther?
Big Mike.
What is he wearing? It's below freezing.
Do you have any place to stay tonight? Don't you dare lie to me.
Bad idea.
What's the big deal? It's just for one night. It is just for one night, right?
Find some time to figure out another bedroom for you.
It's mine?
Yes, sir.
Have you had one before?
Want a room to yourself?
A bed.
It's all real nice what you're doing, but don't be surprised if one day you wake up and he gone.
Michael was here.
Last night. Tell him to sleep with one eye open.
You threatened my son. You threatened me.
Grades have improved enough that he can go out for spring football in March.
One, two, three,
four. His team is your family, Michael. When you look at him, you think of me, how you have my back. Are you going to protect the family, Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
SJ, you're going to want to get this.
Who's the big guy eating with your little brother?
It's his big brother. I think what you're doing is so great. Changing that boy's life.
Well, he's changing mine.
No, he's changing mine. Think about this. When we do God's work, it's amazing how we change. The little things, a smile in the store. KTS has a great idea of paying it forward and buying somebody a cup of coffee. Reaching out and helping someone, a neighbor. This gets us to the message. Ephesians 5, 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Do we do it with a joyful heart, or do we do it with a commitment? Submit. The men love reading this verse because they think it's all about them. But Paul is showing us that the church is the bride of Christ. And if you read the second half of 22, as to the Lord. That's for the men and the women here. Do we submit to the Lord? And the husband, as George said very wisely here, he asked for forgiveness. For he is the head of his family. And he's asked for forgiveness if he's not done a perfect job. But how are we doing, men, in our families? Me as well. This study has started to help me become a better husband again. Christ is the Savior of our church, as well as each and every one of us. He gave Himself up for her, the body of believers. And through these blessings, each and every one of us finds salvation. So what? What's the big deal? What should we do? The church is told to submit, to come underneath the authority of God. Do we do this in all the things that we do? I'll tell you this, our church does a very good job, thanks to Pastor Bruce and the elders. But there's a lot of churches out there that are doing things just to have glamour. What is the purpose of the church? And do we sometimes slow down and listen? Or are we in a fight with God to have control? Do we need to struggle there to have that control? You want to look at this picture? I don't know what the move is. I do know the one individual in there. So if you want to know what the move is, you have to talk to Jack. Because that's Jack just beating on the other guy. Well, God can do that to us very easily. We might say we're following Him, but we struggle with what He has to say. Wives, do you submit to the husband? For you are one and going one direction. Not to be doormats. I'm not saying that the wife ever should ever be a doormat. She is an equal partner in this marriage. But are you both on the same road? God should be leading us. Who are you investing into? I believe in mentoring so much that I need a mentor, as well as I should be mentoring others as well. Men, do you love your wives and wives-to-be? Do your actions show this in how you spend your time and your money? I can always tell people, if you really want to know where your heart is, look at where you spend your time and your money. And I was convicted. I need to be a better husband and spend more time with my wife. And men, do we bring the Word of God into our families? Because you will be accountable for that. Being the head doesn't make you something important and give you authority. Being the head of something makes you accountable. Men, you are accountable to God and how your family is led. Are we using our resources wisely for our families as well as for the church? And if we're not, what are we planning to change some of that? Because God gives us abilities, talents, and money. What do we do with it? A lot of us love ourselves. And when I mean love ourselves, it can be just ourselves in our marriage or our partner. And we just take care of each other and no one else. That isn't what God is wanting. He wants us to love others as well, outside of us. People naturally will care for themselves. It's good to buy a gift or flowers for the wife and then see if you can get a little romance. But do you do things with no strings attached? Do we love our wives and meet their needs? If God makes us one in a marriage, should we care for the other more? I've heard sometimes in marriage counseling that it should be, what's the number? 60-40. Instead of a 50-50 marriage, if you have a 60-40 marriage, you'll do better. You expect 40%, you give 60. But do we do that in the body of the church with God? I don't think we really ever think about giving back to God. I think we're the 100% takers and very little givers. Britt's not here, but I did have her permission ahead of time from Andy. And the other night, Britt wasn't feeling so good. She was sick, and after dinner, She really needed a Powerade. I don't know why a Powerade, but that's her thing that would make her stomach feel better. And she looked at Andrew and said, "Can you get me a Powerade?" He looked and there was none in the house. And what would most of us men say if we didn't have one in the house and the wife needed one? What would some of us say? Drink something else, go get one. Well, Andrew, being a wise man that he is, he went out and got her one. But the piece that was most interesting in the story is that he was sick himself. Are we willing to sacrifice for the other? Christ cares for the body. A lot of times we think of ourselves. We do things to make us feel better. How many of us have actually done a little exercising so we feel better? At least for a day. And then we say we're going to keep doing it, but sometimes we don't. Or some of us will actually cook so that we can have something delicious to eat. Or we go watch movies so we have enjoyment. Or we read a book. Or we go golf. Or we do multiple things to enjoy us. Me and my wife are going to go out to a concert. Do we do things for us? Do we take the same amount of time to do things for the Lord, to do it for Him, for Christ, the head of our church? He will send more people. He will send more people with talents. But are we in prayer for the members of our body? This church is amazing. I do not know when they started the prayer service in the middle of it. I don't know if Pastor Bruce started that or when it was started, but it was a blessing. And when I first came here, I thought, oh, that is such a great idea. In fact, there was one member in this church that has chewed me out multiple times. I want to say over at least seven, Amanda, that has said that you can't stop that piece. It's amazing. And she's right. When we pray for the body, we are doing what He has called us to do. A man and a woman leave their family to become one. Is that true? If it is not true, they need some counseling. I hear there's a lot of men out there that are mama's boys. And if they're a mama's boy, we've got to help them become a husband. Just a terminology out there. Because if that union doesn't become one, in the same vision, going the same direction, what happens when they go in opposite directions? They break up. That marriage is not united. And what is not united a lot of times divides. That's why we have so much divorce. People are traveling two different paths. But to become one flesh is what we're told that we should do through marriage under God. Paul uses this analogy so that we can understand even more the church. 23, let's read that. This is profound mystery. And we just got done reading about the marriage becoming one. But, when we see the word but, he wants us to stop and really read this part. I am talking about Christ and the church. We are to become one. Christ should be in our church and we should have Christ in our lives. Jesus is telling us that we should be telling others about Him. How many of you heard Matthew 28:19? If you haven't heard it before, I'm going to be preaching it for the rest of my life. We are called to share the good word. John talked about that in Sunday school. That when the whole world hears the word of God, He will come. That's why missionaries are so important. Do we love our brothers and sisters in the body? Do we care for our church body? It's amazing. Somebody said in Sunday school, so I can quote them, they found out that Butch is unemployed. Because of the government shutdown, his job is on hold. No paycheck. Now, he wasn't telling this to be public knowledge, but I want it to be public knowledge so that we can care for that family. Because he is our family, along with Rachel. Their stress and their worries shouldn't just be their own. There should be our concern as a body. So do we stop and understand Paul's writing? This marriage verse that everybody takes for granted in a wedding that talks about submission to the wife and that the husband should be this isn't just for weddings, it's for us, the church body. If you don't agree with me, and I'm okay with people that don't agree with me, because I think that's a great opportunity for a great conversation, but if you don't agree with me, please stop me and let's talk this over. Because I may be wrong. But my understanding of the word here is saying that we're in marriage with Christ. We, as a church, should be submissive to Christ. And that we should be looking for the leadership, praying to hear His call. Paul is teaching us the purpose of the church is to submit to God, to grow closer to Him, to teach others. Remember me talking about when we were young in Christ, we were immature? I don't want immature Christians in the church, because immature Christians are like I used to be. I'm not a theologian. Just talk to me, you'll understand that. But I'm no longer the infant. I'm somewhere in between. And we should all be growing in our maturity in Christ. And as we mature, share what we've learned. We have teachers in this church. Why shouldn't they teach? Doug is amazing with all the wisdom he has. And Janet will be teaching in January. And we are looking at how the church has a body that's so blessed. How do we bless others? How do we bless people outside these walls and off this property? That should be some of our prayers that we're praying now. In a good marriage, we have an example in Christ and how the husband is to love his wife. Men, if you love a woman that is your wife, after God, she is number one in your life. You protect her. You cherish her. And men, you need to share the goal of the family. We are going here. That's one thing I have not done well. And I wish my bride would have been here. But she is home, very sick, because she would be here otherwise. And I started to confess to her last night, as I confessed to you today, I have not given the vision of our family very well to her. You want to talk about an amazing woman, though? She submits and follows me as I follow Christ. But I need to share that more. What is God's plan? And are we listening? So what did you learn today? That's the question. A sermon's good to hear, and it's good to have our ears tickled, and it's good to see somebody short up there preaching for a change. I can see some people are awake. But are we looking at our own marriages and saying, gosh, we can do so much better in our marriage that we can have more with Christ? And if I stop and love my wife, we are both blessed. But how are we doing with God in our direction? And talk it over with your wife for our church. Are we looking at what the direction of the church is? This church is saving our neighbors Now I'm having a blank spot. Mike, help me out. Serving our neighbors with Christ's love. Thank you. How can we do this better? First starts with prayer. Paul shows us a good marriage works. That was an example, though, so we understand how the church works. Husbands, take the time to pray with your wives. Take the time to open God's Word. If it is only one sentence that you read in God's Word and you pray together and meditate together, it will bring you together. And women, when it says submit, it's not to be a doormat. But it's not to undermine either. If you don't agree in the direction that your husband's going, talk it over. Work things through so that you are on the same page. Conversation and conflict is good. Didn't I teach that in counseling a little bit? That we will have conflict, but the resolution, we need to find resolution always. Do we live our lives for our neighbors as well? Christ come to serve. Are we willing to serve? Are we growing more like Him in our who we are individually? If you ever want to ask how bad Pastor John used to be, you can just ask Andy or Britt. They've known me for over 10 years, or Brandon. They've known me for over 10 years, and they say, I can ask them this question, do you see a better man today than you did 10 years ago? And you can ask them, and I'm sure they will say, yeah, we've seen God's transformation because you weren't so good before. And that's the truth. And I'm hoping to say to you, the body here, that within 10 years, you will see a different man again. One that will follow the Lord. And one that will be transformed. So my question to you, the body. Do you realize that we are the bride? Do we act like a bride in our church? Do we follow God? And do we listen to where He's calling us to go? That's going to be the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that if you spoke to anyone's heart here today, that you lift up that fire inside of them. Help them act on what you've spoken to them about. And Lord, I pray for this church as we prepare for a new pastor. That you give us wisdom to know your calling for us. And that this church is a bride, and we want it to have submission to you, Lord. We pray that we can hear your calling on our church. And may we act on it. We pray this in your name, Father. Amen.